Today's daf in the Gemara in Shabbos is daf Mem Aleph. Today we'll do Me'ezus Hashem, just one daf, and we're getting Baruch Hashem close to Pesach, so give me a chance again to wish everybody Chag Kosher V'Sameach, a good, healthy, and safe, and happy Zissin Pesach. And we, Me'ezus Hashem, are back now. We're caught up enough that Me'ezus Hashem, we can just go back to doing one daf a day, not one and a half dafs a day, and Me'ezus Hashem, people enjoy the shir, be a little bit slower, a little bit shorter. The Gemara begins. We start three lines up from the bottom on Daf Mem Omud Beis. Omer Rezeira. Rezeira said, Ana chaziti el Rabbi Avo. I myself personally saw that Rabbi Avo, deshot ba'ambate. I saw him swimming in a big bathtub. It was in the ground. It was a bathtub. Rashi explains over here, ambate, on Shabbos, he was swimming in this bathtub. It looked to him like he was swimming. Now, obviously, this was before the takanos that we just learned about in the Gemara yesterday, the day before, that you're not allowed to go and take a bath on Shabbos, not in hot water, not in cold water. So this was obviously before that. In any event, he wasn't sure when Rabbi Zeira saw him. He says, "V'lo yadana I okar, I lo okar." Did he actually swim? Did he have his feet off the ground? Okar raglav, Rashi says, that he lift his feet off the ground, so he was actually floating in the water and swimming, which is a potential problem. Or ilo okar, he didn't lift his feet off the ground, and therefore he wasn't swimming, and there's nothing wrong with it. He couldn't really tell. So Gemara questions this and says, pshita lo okar, of course he didn't take his feet off the ground, because you're not allowed to swim in Shabbos. Titanya, lo yoshut odem brecho meleya mayim. Person is forbidden to go and swim in a pool of water. So how can you say that he took his feet off the ground? This is the great Rabbi Avo. Of course he didn't do something wrong. So therefore, this is true, even if it's in an enclosed courtyard. Rashi explains over here that here there is no concern, since it's in an enclosed courtyard, so it's Rishus HaYochid, so therefore there is no concern that maybe he'll splash and have some of the water go from the Rishus HaYochid of the pool into the surrounding Rishus HaRabim. That's why it tells us it's in an enclosed courtyard over here. It's in a chotzer. And therefore, we aren't concerned about carrying or moving from one Rishus into another Rishus, so the only concern that we would have over here is the swimming, and therefore it says you're not allowed to go swim. So what in the world was Rezeira thinking when he said, I wasn't sure if Rabbi Avo was swimming or not? Of course he wasn't swimming. It's also to swim. So Rashi explains over here, what was his possible havamin over here? So it says, the ksavar, three lines in the bottom, and the Rashi, diwa masu l'yadani yokar, so in the middle of that Rashi says, when we learn, ki tanan ein shotin apnei hamayim, that's referring to Nahar Gadol, in a large river, that's on Daf Lamed Vav. It says over there, the ikal amigza, we have to be concerned, shema yase chavis shel shayotin, because if a person goes swimming, he may need to make a raft over here, a life preserver of some sort, but ambati lo, in a bathtub over here, in this little backyard swimming pool, so then there is no concern at all that he would be swimming. So that was the question that Rabbi Zeira had. Did he, Rabbi Avo, hold that you don't have to be concerned in a backyard, or no, you also have to be concerned in the backyard? Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a problem. Ha, that which the Braisa said, that you're not allowed to go swim in a swimming pool, that's talking about, return to the Amud Aleph, the less legi dude. Rashi has two pshatim over here, what it means less legi dude. Literally it means it doesn't have a bank on the river. Ha, this legi dude. And one says that it does have a bank on the river. That's the difference between where you can't swim and when you can swim. So what does this mean? So the first pshat in Rashi is as follows. Shane's Foss, so Givoa, it's talking about that the bank over here of this pool is not higher. What does that mean? That the water is of equal depth throughout. So right by the bank, it's of equal depth. Like a real swimming pool, for example, where it doesn't necessarily taper off when you go to the side. The kivin shein amukim shom ki mati somuch l'svasa no etz ragla b'karka v'chofer u'memache ha'ofel l'so chamayim v'domil l'megabel. When you have it over here, that it is deep over here, so he has to, so to say, grab on to some of the side, and he's going to take off some of the earth to get out of the pool, and that's going to be megabel. He's going to take this clump of earth that's going to get wet, and it's a little bit like kneading. But Rashi says, that's not my preferred pshat. Rashi says, linear, I prefer the pshat. This legi dude, what does that mean? The lo domi lenohar, it's not like a river. Elo lekli, the less legi dude, domi lenohar v'osar. It doesn't really have a bank over here to this pool like a real river does. And therefore, when you have a real river, so then you have to be concerned. But when you don't have a real river, you just have this backyard bathtub or pool over here, then it's not a concern. So therefore, that's how we explain the difference between one braisa that says yes and one braisa that says no. Gemara continues and says, "V'amar Rav Zeira, another statement that Rav Zeira made. He saw another time Rabbi Avo, Ano Chazita Rabbi Avo, Shiniach Yodav Kineged Panim Shemata, that he was once going into a river." Rashi says, "Kishoy Roches, he was going down to a river to go and wash himself off, and he covered up." We have over here the expression; it's a euphemism. Panav Shemata is a euphemism for the genital area. We have Panav Shemala, which is your face, and we have the Panav Shemata, which is a reference to the genital area. And he covered himself up. Hiniach Yado Kineged Panav Shemata. Rashi says, "Out Tznius purposes, Mishum Tznius," and therefore, when Rabbi Zeira saw that Rabbi Avo covered himself up, he wasn't sure. V'lo Yodan Inaga Ilo Naga. When he covered himself up, did he actually touch himself, or did he not touch himself? Now, what's the problem with touching himself? The Gemara says, "Pshita lo noga." Of course, he didn't touch himself. Pshita lo noga. Why? Because the Tanya we learned in the Gemara in Brachos, Rabbi Elazar Omer, "Kol ochez ba'amo mashdin kilo maybe mabul yol." If somebody, Rachman al-San, is holding on to himself while he's urinating, so that could bring a terrible, terrible trouble to the world. It brings a flood to the world because we brought down the Gemara in Brachos when we learned this, that it could lead Rachman of Islam to a hirhurim and improper ejection of Zera, and that is hashchosas ha'olam. That's a destruction of the world. And the Mabul was brought about because of all the inappropriate immorality that people had in the world. So therefore, when a person touches himself, it could lead to a destruction like happened with the Dor HaMabul. So therefore, of course, the Gemara says he didn't touch himself because you're not allowed to touch yourself. So why would we think that the Tzaddik Rabbi Avo touched himself? So Gemara says, no, there's a reason here to say that he did. Amar Abayi, aso kiboleshes. Maybe over here, in this case with Rabbi Avo was going down to the river, it was analogous to the case where you have this boleshes. The boleshes, Rashi tells us, is a chayolos gayim. So it's a an invading army over here, habola ear, that's coming to the ear. Alshem shemachapsinu bolshinus ear. They go check everything out. They're coming into town. They take whatever they want. They're tough guys. So it's called boleshes because they're looking around. So you have this this army coming into the city, and the Mishnah tells us, this is the Mishnah's Vodazarid, it tells us that non boleshes and nichlisil ear, you have this army coming into the town. So it depends. Bishas shalom, if they're not running away from their foes, so they're coming into town in a time of shalom, in a time of peace, so then any barrels that you have in your house, chavios, pesuchos, asuros. You have to assume that they come into your house, that they take whatever they want. They're not afraid. So, but they're only going to take from the stuff that's open. Stumos, mutaros. Anything that is closed, we assume they didn't touch it. And therefore, these are goyim coming in. So if they're barrels of wine that are open, we have to assume that they were menasech them. They made them into yayin nesech. But if they're closed, you don't have to worry that they maybe opened them up and were menasech with them. However, bishas mochama, if they're coming in during a time when there's war going on and they're really fighting with their enemies, so they don't have time to worry about the drinking in the town, they're fighting for their own lives. So not only are the closed barrels mutter, they're not considered being yayin nesech, but even the open ones, they don't have time to go and be menasech them because they're fighting a battle. The fish ain't p'nai l'nasech. They don't have opportunity over here. They're so busy fighting, so they don't have time to go and be menasech them. So what do you see? Almo kivin de be'isi l'manasech, because they're so busy over here fighting, so they don't have time to be menasech. You don't have to be concerned that they're menasech. So too with Rabbi Avo, when he went down into the river over here, even if he held on to himself, there would be no problem. Hochanami kivin de be'isi, he was very, very afraid. Lo osi l'irhuri. It's not going to lead to, when he touches himself, to have any irhurim and to have Rachman al-Islan hashchos zera. The semen will come out. Therefore, it's not a concern. Gemara says, what's he so afraid about? V'hocha might be asusa. What is the terror over here that Rabbi Avo would have had? So Gemara says, "Biasusa denari." He's afraid he's going to drown in the river. So therefore, that is similar to the boleshes coming in. They're so preoccupied, they're so afraid. So therefore, we're not concerned that the boleshes touches the open barrels. And so to Rabbi Avo, even if he touches himself, there's no concern that he'll have a Rachmano Litzlan, a Hashchasa Zera. Gemara continues, however, and questions still Rabbi Avo. He says, "Ini, really? Did Rabbi Avo cover himself up in that way?" Forget the problem of touching oneself in terms of Hashchas Zera. What is he embarrassed about? He's covering up the Bris Mila. So if somebody covers his Bris Mila up in that fashion, it's as if he's saying, I don't believe in the Bris Mila of Avram Avinu. So Adirabba, instead of covering it up, he should, so to say, stand proudly. He's going down to the river to bathe, so he shouldn't be covering it up. The person's allowed in that situation to be unclothed. And therefore, why is he covering it up? That's the question the Gemara says. Very strange question. Gemara says, Lo kasha. Ho ki noches, it depends. If he's going down to the river when his erva is not visible to the people behind him, so then he shouldn't cover it up. However, Haki Salik, when he comes back up from the river, now he's facing everybody, so that's appropriate that he should cover himself up. And Kihod the Rava Shachi, when Rava went down to the river, he would bend over. So when he would come back up, nobody would see him. It's not a sneeze stick away. However, Rav Zeira Zakif had an opposite approach. He said, no, this is the Bris Milah. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's no question of lack of sneeze over here. I'm not dressed because I'm going down to the river to bathe. So therefore, I don't need to cover up the Mila because we are proud of the Bris Mila and it's not something that one has to be ashamed about. Again, this is not certainly in keeping with the way we normally approach this idea of tznius. Rabbanim Devei Rav Ashi, the Chacham that were in the Beis Medrash Rav Ashi, they compromised over here. Ki konoch se zofki, when they would go down to the river, so then nobody's really watching them, so then they were demonstrating that their pride in the Bris Mila, they didn't have any need to cover it up. And on the way back, because Salki, when they would return, so then it would be visible to other people, so that's not so tznius. So then, Shochi, they would bend over and cover themselves up in a way that would not lead to a lack of tznius. Rav Zeira have a komishtameit mid Rav Yehuda. Throughout Shas, we have this, that Rav Zeira would sometimes not want to go near his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda's opinion was that you can't make aliyah. And Rav Zeira wanted to go make aliyah, so he didn't want Rav Yehuda to see him and be able to prevent him from going on aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting that the Gemara has this. This is a common discussion sometimes today where the children want to make aliyah and their parents are unhappy about it. Ein chadush tachas shemesh, nothing changes, although everybody should certainly be happy if somebody wants to make aliyah. In any event, Rav Zeira have a komishtamit Rav Yehuda, so he was not going near Rav Yehuda, so he wouldn't get musa from his Rebbe not to go. The boy, Lemesek, the Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that his Rebbe didn't approve of that, because his Rebbe held the Amar of Yehuda, Kol Olam, Mibavel, Eretz Yisrael, over B'yasei. Rav Yehuda's opinion was that you also to make Aliyah. Hashem put us into Golus, we have to stay here until Hashem brings us back. And it's based upon a Pasuk. Shneema, the Pasuk says, Bavel are you vo, Visham are you. That I brought you down to Bavel and Golus, and you can only return to Eretz Yisrael when I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring you back. This is a modern discussion as well in terms of our approach towards Medinas Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael today. Are we allowed to go back and make our own Medina, or are we not allowed to go back and make our own Medina? So Rav Zeira's opinion was, yes, you can. Rav Yehuda's opinion was, no, you can't. So in any event, Rav Zeira went to see his Rebbe. He said, Amar Ezel V'yeshma Mine Milsa. I'm going to go hear one last thing from my Rebbe, and then I'll sneak off and go to Eretz Yisrael. They say the Esak, and then I'll go. Ozal, he went to his Rebbe, Ashkeri L'chor Beibani. He went to his Rebbe going to take a bath in the bathhouse. V'komele L'shamei, and he sees the way his Rebbe acts. Talmidim always want to watch the way the Rebbe acts, because you learn a certain amount in the Beis Medrash, but you learn a lot more by shimush, by watching how the Rebbe conducts himself, by watching how the Rebbe paskins l'maisa, as opposed to in theory in a Beis Medrash. So he was watching his Rebbe to see what his Rebbe does. So he saw that his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, v'komele L'shamei, he told his shamish over here, the assistant that he was with, and he told him, Haviuli Neser, Haviuli Masrek. Rashi points out he said this in Hebrew. He said, bring me over here some like shampoo. Neser is a certain type of material that's Lochufis Roshi. It's a shampoo. Rashi says he would go use it to shampoo his head. And Rashi points out he said this Badavka in Hebrew. And Haviuli Masrek, he said also, bring me a comb. After I shampoo my hair, I want to comb my hair. Why did the Badavka say this in Hebrew? So Gemara was going to say that he wanted to teach everybody that you're allowed to use Lashon Kodesh even in a bathhouse. One shouldn't think, and we had this the other day as well, that you're not allowed to talk Hebrew in a bathhouse. No, you're not allowed to talk Torah in a bathhouse, but you are allowed to talk Hebrew in a bathhouse. So Yibadavka wanted to teach everybody that din. So he said, in Hebrew, bring me the shampoo and bring me my comb. Then he said, now he's talking in Aramaic, because he wants everybody to understand what he's saying. Pisklu pumaychu, when you go take a bath over here, open up your mouth, for afiku havla. If you've opened up your mouth and breathed in the steamy air of the bathhouse, then Vafiku Havla, all the Zeya will come out of you, all the bad things will come out of you, and that's a good idea. So it's like you open up your pores. People say, I go into the Schwitz to open up my pores. So this is the same idea. Go in there, let the Schwitz air, the steamy air go in, and that will bring out all of the bad things inside of you. Afiku Havla, the Hevel, all the bad things will come out of you. Then he said, "V'ish tumimaya," and when you're in the bathhouse over here, drink the water that you're bathing in, the Beibani. Again, we wouldn't consider that necessarily a smart thing to do. In those days, that was considered a good thing to do. Whenever we have these medical type or homeopathic types of ideas in the Gemara, they're not halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. This was their understanding, and there's absolutely no halachic significance to it. In fact, you're not allowed to follow the Gemara's medicinal ideas. It's actually the approach of the Achronim is that you should bedavka not follow them because we don't understand them, and you're going to end up making a lot of mistakes. It could be dangerous, etc. So Rav Zeira heard this. He saw what his Rebbe was teaching. He said, "Oh, Amar Ilmale Lobasi Elul Lishma Dover Zeh Dai." I wanted to hear words from my Rebbe. If this is the only thing I'd ever heard from my Rebbe, that would have been, Dai, right? Like say by Pesach Dayenu, that would have been enough. So of course you want more. It's not enough just that. But he's saying this is such a good vart that this would be kedai just this alone to come and hear my Rebbe. Gemara continues and says, "Bishlama haviu neser haviu masre kamashulan." Why did he say that in Hebrew? Bring me the shampoo and bring me the comb. He said it in Hebrew to teach us devarim shelchol mutal yomer b'loshen kodesh. Like I said, he wants to tell everybody that you're allowed to speak Hebrew in the bathroom. It's not also to speak Hebrew in the bathroom. When he says pischu pumaychu, open your mouth and then you'll breathe in all the steamy hot air, and that will afiku havlo, that will let all of your hevel come out of you. So nami kiddush shmuel, that's also something that we already learned for Shmuel. Shmuel was a doctor, by the way, and it says that the omer shmuel havlo mafik havlo, the inhalation over here of hot stuff, the hevel will mafik havlo, will bring out the hot stuff from inside of you. So in other words, it'll get out, to open up your pores and get out the bad stuff. And finally, that we understood, but ela ishtu maya derebani, what's the purpose of drinking the water of the bathhouse? Mayimal Yusa, how does that help? Gemara says the Tanya, because it says in a Braisa. Ocha v'lo shoso achilosu dam. If a person eats and he doesn't drink, so his eating is going to be deadly. It's going to, so to say, bring about the loss of his own dam. V'zeu t'chilas cholimiyayim. And in fact, it will cause intestinal problems. Ocha v'lo holach arba amos achilosu markeves. If you ate and then you didn't walk at least davar amos before you go to sleep, so then it's also going to cause you to rot. The achila is going to be markeves. And this will cause a person to have bad breath. And likewise, an itzrach l'nekav v'yochav, somebody has to go to the bathroom, but he eats before he goes to the bathroom. Domi l'tanur shesiku agabi efro. It's like you're heating up a tanur when the coals are all covered up with ash. This is like the ketuma that we've had previously. So it's not good. You're not going to get the full benefit. If you have to go to the bathroom, so the good nutrition won't be able to go in because you're, so to say, being blocked by having to go to the bathroom. And he says, this causes zeh tchilas riach zuma. This will cause a certain type of zuhama. Zuhama is like a bad odor to a person. Machlod zuhamiyot are infectious diseases. We're in the midst of COVID right now. So zuhamiyos is a modern Hebrew word for infection, but it also can just mean something that's malodorous. And it can be the sweaty, foul stench that a person has. So that's trilas reach zuhama, bad stench. And if a person goes and bathes in hot water, but he doesn't drink from this hot water, that's what Shmuel had taught us. Domo letaner shesikumi b'chutz v'lo yisikumi b'fnim. This is going to be, over here, something that is analogous to if a person heats up an oven, but not on the inside, he heats up on the outside. So you're not going to cook stuff well on the inside if you have some heat on the outside. And likewise, if a person goes and bathes in hot water and then he doesn't take a cold shower afterwards, that's similar to domala barzo shilchisula, or that's like putting iron into a fire and making it almost ready for its final usage. However, but then you don't cool it off and harden it with the cooling off process. That's how you make the steel really forged well. And likewise, rochatz lo soch, if a person went and he washed himself and he didn't anoint himself with oil. So doma lemayim agabi chavis. This is like putting water on the outside, on the back of the barrel and not into the barrel. It will not be something that would be of benefit to the person. It's not a good way to do this. The Rashi on the previous daf said that they would go and anoint themselves with oil before they went and bathed. But Tosus over here says that that's incorrect. And he says, V'lo garsinon, the second Tosus over here, rochatz v'lo soch. So it says, V'lo garsinon meyikara. Some have the gears over here, rochatz, if you wash yourself, and v'lo soch meyikara, and you didn't go and anoint yourself first. Now that's the way Rashi had it. But here Tosus says that's not right, because he says, B'kuli ashas, throughout shas, rechitza kodim sicha. You always wash yourself, and then afterwards, when you come out, you go and anoint yourself. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Mulior hagoruf. A mulier is basically an urn. Now there, a mulier, as we'll see, had basically coals all around it, and it kept the water container in the middle hot. So this Muyir HaGaruf shows an Imenu Shabbos. You'll have to go drink from these waters on Shabbos. Now, Antiche, however, is another type of an urn. The structure is a little bit different. The coals are really like on the bottom or around it in a different way, not surrounding it like the Muyir. Apa Pisha Grufa, even though you actually got rid of all the coals, it's Grufa, means the coals were shoveled away, ain't Shosim Imenu. You're not allowed to drink from this on Shabbos. So what's going on over here? So first of all, this Muyir is not going to have over here coals, because again, we're talking about it's Muyir HaGaruf. So why is the Muyir allowed to be drunk from? And the Antichi, which also has the coals that were shoveled away, is not allowed to be drunk from. So Rashi explains over here that the Muyir is Afa Pi Shuchmu Kitsas Machmasakli Lefisheno Mosif Helbel El Meshamer Mekayim Chom Shalhem Shlo Yitztananu. So the Muyir over here doesn't add any heat to it. When you take away the coals, it retains the heat that's already there, but it doesn't add to it. As opposed to the Antichi, the Gemara will explain the two different ways that the Antichi could be set up. That is somehow Mosif Hevel. It adds heat to it even when you remove the coals. So now, with this little understanding from Rashi, we can read the Gemara. Hechi Domi, what are we talking about when we say Muyir HaGaruf? What does that exactly mean? So Tana, Mayim Mibifnim V'Gecholim Mibichutz. Normally, the way the Muyir is set up is that you have a central water container and you have coals all around it. So when you've removed these coals, so then they no longer can be Mosif Hevel. It can't add heat to it. The Muyir itself retains the heat, and therefore you'll have to drink from it on Shabbos. There's no problem. However, Antichi, what is that? So there are two interpretations. Rab Omar, it's Bei Kire, and Rab Nachman Yitzchak Omar, Bei Dude. So these are two different structures over here. The Bei Kire, Rashi explains, is Chalol Yesh Bekira. There is some sort of a space in the middle of this oven. Eitzel Chalaleo Shagacholim Bo, and the coals are near this space. Umayim Nesudim B'Chalal HaSheni, and then there's another type of a urn structure or compartment where they put the water into it. The Avogav D'Domi L'Mulyer, it's a little bit like a Mulyer, however, Miu Kira Dofanel Av, it has very thick walls over here, and therefore, V'Ur Tardir B'Socho Koyim Osecho, and since it's on all week long, it gets very hot, the metal gets very hot over here, V'Dofanel Cham Ma'od, and the walls are very hot, so even though you remove the coals, so, according to this first version, this Bei Kire somehow is Mosif Hevel. What is the Bei Dudi? So Rashi says, Yorigidol, it's a big pot. Osim L'Shtei Shulayim has two separate bottom compartments to it. And in between these two compartments are the coals, and the Mayim Aloyonim, and the water goes on top of it. So now, what is the status of Rabba and Rav Nachman Yitzchak's Antichi? So Gemara says, Man di Omer Bei Dude, the second opinion over here, that it has these two shulayim, these two base kibbles, so to say, with the coals in between them. So certainly, if you say that you're not allowed to drink from that antichi, kol shekein Bei Kire. So certainly, you can't drink from the Bei Kire, which is even hotter. However, Man di Omer Bei Kire, the one who says the really hot one, that you can't drink the water, Avo Bei Dude, it's not as hot. Maybe you could drink from the Bei Dude. So we don't know for certain that the opinion of the Bei Dude would be usher according to the opinion of the Bei Kire. We have a braisa that supports Rav Nachman. Tanya Chavosi Rav Nachman. Antichi afa bisha grufa uktuma ein shosim imenu. This antichi, even though you've shoveled away the coals or you put ashes on top of the coals, a blech, ein shosim imenu. You're not allowed to drink from it. Why? Mipnei she nechushta mechamta. Because the bottom part over here, the nechoshes part at the bottom, is so hot that even though you've removed the coals or you've covered up the coals, it still will be very, very hot. It will be Mosif Hevel. And this goes according to the opinion of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Next Mishnah. Now, this next Mishnah is going to be unintelligible until we explain it in the Gemara. So we'll just read the words. Hamecham shepinohu. If you have a mecham is again something like an urn or a kettle, and you removed it. Pinohu. We'll see in a moment in the Gemara what that means that you removed it. So, lo yitein l'socho tzonein b'shul shiichamu. You're not allowed to add cold water to it because it will get hot. And you're not allowed to heat stuff up on Shabbos. However, I will notice in l'socho or l'socha kos k'dei lav shirin. But you can't put water into it or into a cup in order that it should just be cooled off. So you can put cold water in there that will become lukewarm. So again, there's three basic questions over here. This mission makes no sense whatsoever. Number one, what in the world are we talking about that you removed it? Hamecham shepino. What did you remove? What's going on? That's number one. Number two, you're not allowed to put in cold water because it's going to heat it up. But then it says, number three, you are allowed to put in cold water because it only gets heated up a little bit. So this Mishnah is unintelligible. So we need the Gemara. My Gemara. The Gemara says, what in the world is this Mishnah talking about? So Rav Adar Ramas, no, Hochi Gemara. So Rav Adar Ramas explains the Mishnah the following way. He says, Hamecham shepina mimenu mayim chamim. He says, this mecham, this urn over here, you emptied it from the hot water that was previously inside of it. But it will still be hot. It's a kettle. It's an urn. It's still hot, even though you took out all the hot water. So in this kettle, lo yitein l'solchan mayim watim kadesh yichamu. You can't put in a little bit of water into this boiling hot kettle. There's no water inside, but it's boiling hot. So now when you add cold water into it, it's going to heat up. If you only add a little bit of cold water, it's going to heat up the water. And you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So therefore, don't put a little bit of water into it. However, I will know sin l'socho mayim erubim, but you can put a lot of water into it, kidei lav shira. That's not a problem, because when you pour in a lot of water, the water won't get so hot, because there's so much of water being added, that only it will get, instead of being cold, it'll be at 50 degrees, it will go up to 60 or 70 degrees. But it will never reach boiling, and therefore there's no issur of Shabbos over here. We turn to the Amud Beis, it's a short Amud Beis, and he says, there's a problem over here. If you want to explain this the way that we just said, the way that Rav Adar Bar Masna explained it, so then you have another problem over here. Okay, you explained why it's not a problem over here of heating up water on Shabbos, because it's not getting that hot, but what about Balomit Sarev? You have here a metal container, a metal utensil, this urn, this kettle, and it was just put into a fire, so it's boiling hot. And now you put cold water onto it, that's an Isser Malacha of Masaki money. You're fixing your utensil over here by being Mitzarev. You're sturdying, making it sturdy. You're hardening it over here, and this is something that you're not allowed to do. As Rashi points out, Kishukli Matlis Cham, when you have a hot metal utensil, Venosin Sochotzon, and you're putting cold water to it, Machaskim is a Kli, that strengthens the Kli. Vizui Gemar Malacha. This is Makabapatish. You've finished making this over here. This is what the silversmiths always do. Hatzarfim, Shirisicha Soar, Mifafa, so that when you put it into the fire, it gets swollen up. The Karvli Shavit, it's always going to break. Vahamayim et Sarfin, Papufav. The water that you add, the cold water, cools it down, and it stops the swelling, and it strengthens it. So this is an Issur D'oraisa. How are you allowed to go and be mitzarefit by adding the cold water? So Gemara says, no, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. This is the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon, Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, throughout the Gemara and Shabbos, as to whether a davar she'eino miskaven is also or not. Rabbi Yehuda says it's also, so this can't be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Shimon says, I have no intention of being mitzaref the kli here. I just want a little bit of lukewarm water. So therefore, even though it's going to be mitzaref, that's not my problem. I'm not interested. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. Rav Shimon says it's mutter to do so. The amar davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Only one problem. Even Rav Shimon says that if it's a psik reisha, you're not allowed to do this. If it's definitely going to happen, you can't say I'm not interested in it. So the Mefarshim explains simply that it's not definite it's going to happen. Maybe this pot was already once heated up and cooled off, and you only have to be mitzaref at one time. Or maybe it's not guaranteed that it's going to go and become mitzaref by just filling it up with some water. So, in any event, thus the simple answer that this is not a psik reisha, and it's a davar she'eino miskaven, and Rav Shimon says it's mutter. That's version number one of our Gemara. Gemara says, however, Abaye doesn't like this answer. Abaye doesn't like Rav Adar Bar Masna's answer. Maskel Abaye, Abaye asks Rav Adar Bar Masna. That's not the words what the Mishnah means. You said you're pouring out the water. That's not what pina means. Midei mecham shepina mimenu mayim k'tani. Does it say that it's a urn, a kettle, that you pour the water out from it? No, that's not what it says. It said mecham shepinahu k'tani. It's an urn that you took it away. In other words, you took it off the fire. So that's not what you're saying, Rav Adar Bar Masna, and therefore Abaye has a different shot. Elom Abaye, Abaye says, it's the way to understand the Mishnah. Hochi Komar. You understand the Mishnah as follows. Hamecham shepinohu. If you take a kettle over here, this urn, and you remove it from the fire, and the Yeshbo Mayim Chabim, it still has hot water inside it. So it's a Kli Rishon, but it's no longer a Kli Rishon, Sha'agabi Yesh. So what's the din? Lo yitein l'socha mayim muatim b'shul shiyachomu. You're not allowed to add a little bit of cold water in order that that little bit of cold water will get heated up, because this is a kli rishon, even though it's not on the fire, and a kli rishon is mevashel. So if you add a little bit of water, this kli rishon has the ability to go and be mevashel, the water that you're adding into it, the cold water, and make it boiling water, and that's an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos. However, I will know silasocha mayim merubim kedi lavshiran. But if you put in a lot of water all at once, so then none of that water will have a chance to get heated up. So instead of it getting boiling, so you add in a gallon of 50 degree water, so it will go up to 60 or 70 degrees, but it's not going to get to yet, so let it smoke. And therefore, avonosin lesocha mayim merubim kedei lahavshiran. You can put in a lot of water all at once. You can put it in a little bit at a time, but you put it in all at once, it will never get to the point of bishul of yatsu lenisbo, and therefore it's allowed. That's what our Mishnah means. But that implies that if you had the case of Radha Bamasna, if you're talking about a mecham that you poured out the water, so then lo yitin l'socha mayim kolikar. From the fact that the Mishnah tells us over here, it's a mecham that you took off the fire and has water in it, it implies that if you didn't have water in it, you just had the hot kettle over here, you're not even allowed to put in a little bit of water into it because that will cause mitzarif. It's a davar shenu miskaven, and Rav Shimon said that it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, this is the opinion of Yehuda. The Amar davar shenu miskaven is osur. So the implication over here is that if it's a davar shenu miskaven, it's osur over here. That's Rav Yehuda shita because it definitely is going to be mitzarif. Likewise, we had a machlokas exactly similar to what Rav Adar Bamasna and Rabbi had. Omer Rav, lo shanu el hafshir. Rav said over here that you can't add an amount of cold water over here to the kettle, el hafshir, except if it's going to make it lukewarm. As long as you're adding enough water that it won't boil, so there's no problem boiling. However, avol tzarif, if your intention was to be mitzarif, to harden this utensil, to make sure that the utensil doesn't break, so then it would be aser. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel says, no, I feel it's hard for Nami Motor. Shmuel said, no, no problem. Even if you want to go over here and put it into this empty urn, you would be allowed to do so because it's a dover she'eno miskavin. So Shmuel holds like Rav Adar Ramasna, and Rav holds like Abaye. Mara says, Letzarv lechachil mishari. But wait a second, Shmuel's saying, I feel letzarv Nami Motor? Is that really true? It's also, you're not allowed to be mitzarv, it's misakin money, as we said. So Gemara says, you're right, we misunderstood. Elo, I itmar, hochi itmar. This machlok is the way we learn the Rabbi Shmuel doesn't make any sense because l'tzarev l'chachilim yishari. So therefore, if there is in fact a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel, which there is, this is the way you have to understand it. Hochi itmar. Amar Rav. Rav says, lo shanu elo shir l'havshir. You're only allowed to put in enough water over here into this urn, into this kettle over here, and that the water won't become boiling. It will only be l'havshir. But if you put in so much, avoshir letzarif would be aser. If you're putting in enough that actually would go and harden the utensil, then it would be an iser. And to that, Shmuel responds, or Shmuel Amar, no, afilu shir letzarif. Even if you added enough to go and be mitzarifit, that would be allowed. Even if you filled it up all the way to the top, Rashi says, Shemeleo kulo, it would still be allowed. How come? Return to Membez Amaral, it's mutter. How come? Lememer de Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon's relay. Because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Your intention wasn't to be mitzarefit. And therefore, it's a dovashen of miskavin, and in fact, it would be permissible. But the Gemara says, wait a second. Lememer de Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon's relay. That implies that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, that a dovashen of miskavin is mutter. But that's not true of Amar Shmuel. Mechabin gachele shel mateches mishuzarabim. Shmuel says you're allowed to put out a burning piece of metal. A gacheles is like a coal of metal. It's in the Rishus Rabbim. Why? Because people shouldn't be hurt by this. It's a burning coal in the middle of the Rabbim. A burning piece of metal is obviously going to burn somebody. However, but you're not allowed to go and put out a burning piece of wood. The reasoning is because that's an actual Issa D'Oraisa to go and put out the wood, and it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to go put out the Gacheles Shel Mateches. As Rashi says over here, the top line in Rashi, Gacheles Shel Mateches, Shemashlichin L'chutz Psolah Shel Barzo, D'lo Shayach Kibui B'Hochi B'Doraisa. There is no Din D'Oraisa over here of Kibui by a piece of metal. The Rabbi said, M'Drabbanan Asura. And therefore, the Hechod D'Ika Nizka, the Rabbim, here, when there's potential for the Rabbim to be damaged by it, Lo Gozru Al-Shus. The Rabbi said, we don't want a Din D'Rabbanan to take effect. However, Abba Lo Shalates, Rashi continues, these are deraisi. That's a real issa deraisa. V'chayv skil if you did this on purpose. And therefore, the rabbi said, you can't do this over here unless it's actually pikuach nefashos. But just to get rid of it in this way, you cannot allow to do this. Now, why not? If you in fact say that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, so then it's a davshen miskavin. So afilu shalates nami, you're not interested in putting the wood out for the wood's sake. You just don't want it to cause damage in public. If you get rid of it in another way, you'd be just as happy. So how could that be the opinion of Shmuel? He clearly would say that would be mutter if he held like Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel says, no. B'dover she'enu miskavin, so alo k'rabbi Shimon. You're right. In fact, in regards to b'dover she'enu miskavin, you don't intend something to happen, like the mitzariv, so then, so alo k'rabbi Shimon, then it would be allowed. But why over here, with the gachelish shel mateches and the shusar rabbin, which he allows, but he doesn't allow the gachelish shel eitz? How come if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, he should allow it? So he says, no, here he holds sovel like Rabbi Yehuda. In this situation, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But this isn't the same machlokis as Dovah Shem Miskavein. This is a very closely related machlokis about locha she'ena tzricha legufa. This is when you're doing some sort of a malacha and you don't need it for that purpose. Eino tzricha legufa. So malacha is being done, but not for a purpose that you want it for. It's different than Dovah Shem Miskavein. Dovah Shem Miskavein is, I had no intention for that. Here it's a malacha, but it's not the malacha that you needed for that purpose. And here you have a similar machlokes between Rabbi Shimon, who says it's mutter, and Yehuda says it's aser. So in this case over here, with the gachela shel eitz, it's not a davar she'enu miskavein. It's a malacha she'enu tzricha legufa. And here Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a malacha she'enu tzricha legufa is aser. As Rashi says over here, Afilu Shleitz Nami, the last of the wide lines at the top Rashi's. Dollar Rabbi Shimon, Melocha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter Alei. The Chol Kibui Eino Tzarech Legufa, when you're extinguishing something, you don't need it for itself. Chutz Be'osib Chum, except the people that want those charcoals or those embers, may have Havi Psila, or the singed Psila, that's where you want it. So therefore, this is a Melocha Shein Tzricha Legufa, and in this situation, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. For Dovah She'enu Miskavein, there he holds like Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara concludes and says, I'm Ravina, Hilkach, based upon what we just said, Kotz B'Rishus HaRabim, if you have a splinter or some sort of a thorn in the Rishus HaRabim that somebody can get hurt on, what's the din? Molicho pochas pochas mi'arbamos. You're allowed to move it less than dalet amos, so you're not carrying it, because Rashi says over here in the Dira Maskel Hilkach, kiven de amos lo gazu shvus de kiboy mateches b'mokom nisko de rabim. Since we just said that Shmuel holds that we're not going to insist that the rabbinical decree of not putting out a mateches, a gechel shel mateches in Rishus HaRabim, if there's a damage to the rabbim, so the rabbis didn't institute their din, so too over here, the rabbis didn't institute their din with the coats in the Rishus HaRabim, you can move it less than dalet amos in Rishus HaRabim, which is only a din the rabbanim not to do that, in order not to have the damage done in the public. And that's why Uba Karmelis Avilu Tuva, if it's in a Karmelis, you can even move it more than dalet amos at one time, because only a din the rabbanim not to move dalet amos, and because of Niska the rabbim, the rabbis never instituted their din the rabbanim. As Rashi says, the tiltu d'day, the rabbanon, the whole thing is only the rabbanon, and therefore, yavirenu bakirachas, you don't have to move it pochas pochas b'dalet amos to make it the rabbanon. It's already the rabbanon, even if you move it more than dalet amos, bevas achas. With that, we conclude today's shir.